Oh my goodness, this woman that I just interviewed, Alyssa, I'm so excited to bring to you this conversation because you are listening to this. So most likely you are a visionary and most likely you don't really like dealing with your finances. And it's probably something that you know that you need to look at, but you probably haven't as much as you really truly should. And this is such an important conversation for visionaries, for women in general, because it empowers you so much when you actually look at your finances, when you look at the data involved with your finances as well. And this is exactly what we talk about in this conversation, is looking at the data, setting up your finances in a way that feels good, and then looking at the data and knowing what you need to do in your business in order to make a certain amount of money, in order to know which way and what direction you want to go next, and what actually makes the most sense for you to actually make more money. What should you say no to? What isn't bringing you bottom line results? And what isn't you bringing you results at all? And what is giving you 80% of your results with only 20% of your time? So this is this was by far even a more powerful conversation that I could have ever imagined. Alyssa makes this process that usually is stuffy and boring as hell into an incredibly fun, light, and just really an empowering experience. So you guys are going to absolutely love this. The conversation's hilarious. She's hilarious. I absolutely adore her. My cheeks literally freaking hurt from smiling and laughing so much with her. So she is a riot. And she leads her business in such a unique way. And she's a total powerhouse, multi-seven figure badass, like crazy, incredible person. So get ready and welcome Miss Alyssa. And I'll just read you her bio. So Alyssa Lang is a financial strategist, bookkeeping consultant, public speaker, podcast host, 2-year nominee for Ignition's Top 50 Women in Accounting, as well as the founder of Magnetic Bookkeeping and Consulting, a financial advisory team of experts that help ambitious creatives and service providers tackle their books with ease and confidence. So get ready, buckle up, and get ready for truly an amazing conversation with Miss Alyssa Lang.
Welcome, visionaries and revolutionaries, to the Aligned Empire Podcast, your gateway to building a movement of change, wealth, and impact. I'm your host, Drea Brown. This podcast is for the visionary woman who is ready to master the energetic frequencies of money, business, and herself, and is ready to expand into a frequency, life, and empire that mirrors her highest purpose. Together, we are rising up and reshaping the world as we know it, defying limitations and boldly embodying our highest selves. You're not just listening to another podcast. You're embarking on an epic journey.
Hello and welcome back to the Aligned Empire Podcast. I am super excited to bring to you today such a total badass, Miss Alyssa Lang. Alyssa, welcome to the podcast.
Yay, I'm so excited. I already know. I just like fell in love with you the moment we started talking, like our first connection call. Like I already knew this was gonna, you're stuck with me forever now. Just loving the vibes.
Literally, oh my gosh, that's literally how I felt. And I like was going on your Instagram and I was looking at all the stuff you used for your office, and I literally have the clock that you have right on my desk.
Really?
I'm looking at it right now. Oh yeah, I was like, this girl, like you're already inspiring me just for my clock. So
I love that little clock.
I love it. It's so cute, man. Maybe we should leave this link down below because I think everyone's going to need this clock.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Alyssa is such an incredible ball of energy. She is like literally a powerhouse badass at her business. And I'm so excited to talk about this because she really does embody what she teaches her clients in terms of finances and getting your finances together. And I know a lot of you guys listening to this podcast, we're visionaries. We don't like the details. We don't like the financial shit going on. And I know a lot of women in general really don't pay attention to that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But what is your story? How did you get to where you are today, Alyssa? And how did you get to the financial success and just honestly being this powerhouse badass that you are?
Yeah. So I actually started my first company back in 2015. And I had my first business. It was a bookkeeping and tax firm. It was called Top Notch Bookkeeping Solutions. And we really actually specialize in like coffee and construction, which was super random, very, very random, totally opposite type of niches, which is super weird. So I started that business, but I started off first with taxes and then immersed myself into bookkeeping because I kind of got tired of trying to help people with their taxes and all they wanted was a refund. But then once you work with business owners who really know the dynamic of what it takes to be a business owner, like, you should be owing taxes. And when you do, it means you probably made a fuck ton of money, which is good. So then I wanted to get into the world of the bookkeeping side of things. So then that was back in 2018 when we transitioned in more of the bookkeeping. And then I think it was during my own struggles in my own firm, I found that nobody in the accounting industry was teaching systems, processes, hiring, like just team support and not having to be stuck in the day-to-day work. And so because of that, I selfishly was trying to figure it out for myself and my own firm. So I got really immersed into Asana, trying to like hire my own team. And then for some odd reason, I went to like a Facebook group. We all know how this rabbit hole goes. Went to a Facebook group and I posted, does anybody else struggle with like, you know, systems and processes specific for our industry, like two other bookkeepers and accountants? And I had like 175 people like, oh my God, this is like a thing. Like, it's so overwhelming. Then 2020 comes around and it was on Valentine's Day of 2020. So before COVID was even like a thing. And I remember like someone had messaged me and was like, I heard that you're the workflow queen and that you can help people like in the accounting industry. And I was like, oh, ooh, I like that name. I wanted to be called Workflow Ninja, but it was taken. So then it settled for Workflow Queen, which actually suits really, really well for the company. And so from that company, that really blew up because I trailblazed in the industry, creating the thing that nobody really had. And so like, I didn't know it was going to blow up like it did. And so then I had to like let go of my firm and my clients actually like let a lot of them out to my my other students and stuff like that, because I was like, I can't do this. I have to focus on Workflow Queen and really help the industry. Well, about 13, 14 months later, we hit our first seven figures in the business and we just use a launching strategy and nobody knew who the hell I was in the industry. So for the first like 6 months, I had no idea what I was doing. I actually ended up hiring a launch coach to help me understand how to launch because I didn't know email marketing. Like, I come from accounting and numbers. Like, I had to learn so much new stuff. It was insane. So it blew up. I still have that company. And that's where we help bookkeepers and accountants with systems, processes, team hiring. We're actually currently in the middle of the launch, which we could talk about later. And then during my launching business, so because of Workflow Queen, I found that a lot of other course creators and creatives in the industry who were using a launch strategy or also services, I was finding that they didn't know how to manage their cash flow or really understand like, okay, I've got a 6-month payment plan, an 8-month payment plan, and a 4-month payment plan, different programs, but no platform is really being transparent on what's that cash flow look like for the future for you. So then people will launch, they make all this money and they don't realize that they spent a lot of money to get there. And because of it, they end up at the end wanting to hire all these designers and employees. And then next thing you know, 6 months from now, they're almost bankrupt because of the fact that they didn't manage their cash flow and there's no clarity in the industry. So then I wanted to go back to my roots and I wanted to help the launch industry. And I really wanted to help the course creators, creatives to really understand their service profitability. So in 2022, I started Magnetic Bookkeeping Consulting with a business partner, found out we weren't aligned. So I bought her out last year. And then now we're in 2023 and we have just grown tremendously. And it's been incredible. It's an incredible journey in the way that we've helped our clients. Like, it's just, I love helping badass women too. And it's just been such a freaking journey to get here. And it's amazing. And I'm so excited for it.
I love that. And can you share the launch goal that you guys just hit?
Yes, I know we were talking about it right before and it's very exciting. So we always do a good, better, best system. We always recommend this for our clients as well, is start with like, we have to hit this number type thing. So for us, it was 250K. Our better goal was 350K and our best goal is 500K, so half a mil. And we did recently just hit a couple days ago, the better goal, so 350K goal. So we're on our way, hopefully today is cart close, gonna hit our half mil goal. The team is very excited because they get to bonus out on this launch, which is exciting. So if we hit these certain goals, they get to bonus. And it's been cool. We only have a 1 week open cart and it's just been incredible. And we failed to do a lot of things that most people would with sending emails and like, because we just don't have the energy. And it's just been like blowing up and it's insane. But power is in the niches, to be honest.
Absolutely. And so, okay, so take me through exactly what, as a business owner, as a coach, as an entrepreneur, take me through exactly what I need to do. I'm coming to you literally with no expertise at all in any of this stuff. So how would you even set someone like me up?
Yeah, so it depends, because like for the financial side of stuff, like for our firm, what we do is we assist people within their launch, but not necessarily like the system side or the op side of things, but more around like the financial side, because a lot of times people aren't putting together a budget of knowing how much they can spend on ads, because let's just say a lot of people, their vanity metric that they want is 100K, right? That's most people when they standard launch. And that's okay. And those are great numbers to actually have, whatever you're thriving for. But then they don't realize that it actually costs a lot of money up front to be able to run the ads that you need. And unless you have a very solid organic community that really just loves what you have, but creating the budgets to get them ready. So saying, what are you actually looking to make? And then also, what are you willing to spend in order to get there? Because the reality is, it's not just the Facebook ads. I think this is where people forget. It's also the time that your team is doing, like on their end, to shift what they typically would be doing to be able to go towards the launch. So we actually do cost analysis on like each of the team members to see what's their billable rate, and then how much time are they spending specifically on the launch, and how much did you actually have to put out in order to gain the vanity metric. Everybody wants to showcase this badge of, oh my gosh, we made half a mil or we made 100K, but nobody's talking about what's happening behind the scenes that actually got you there. And that's where we play that behind the scenes role to get them ready for it. We even have this like cash flow projection thing that we do that we just nailed to a T that I'm so excited about. And essentially what it is that we can predict the exact day that they'd have to launch. If they do not launch, they will go bankrupt. And like, we can actually do it to the day. It's insane. It's this beautiful spreadsheet that we've been working on. Oh my God, it's so cool. But we actually set up the automations in the back end to pull in all the different price points, and it will auto predict the months out. And then we'll also do all the expenses to tell them what your projected bank balance will be whenever. And it creates transparency. So for us, if we hit the goals that we have, we're actually set for almost 2 years. So we technically wouldn't have to launch for almost 2 years with the payroll that we have, paying myself, the expenses, if everything was predicted to stay the same. And that's been really powerful of a new tool that we've been like rolling out to our current clients. And now we're actually starting to offer it to new people, but they have to do the books with us because they need the accurate data in order to know the numbers. You know what I mean? So if you were in that stage, and that's where how we would be able to come support you is like, let's predict the date. Let's set a budget. Then let's maintain the records behind the scenes to see how much did you actually spend based off of what we thought we were going to spend. And then from there, we just kind of look at the vanity metrics, and we can actually consult our clients with like, okay, you made all this money. Here's what you're going to have. Here's what's going to be there in the future. But also, what type of investments have you been looking at? So we look at their goals. Maybe it's a redesign of their website, like whatever that looks like. We actually go through and help them to not spend their money crazy, because a lot of people after a launch will be like, I made all this money, I'm going to go buy a car. And it's like, you probably shouldn't right now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And for your own launch, how are you incorporating this? Because again, we already spoke about how you embody your own values that you teach to your clients. So walk me through this launch that you just did.
Yeah. So typically for us, like our launch strategy, I learned this from, her name is Alex Beeden. She's the coach that I ended up hiring. And I'm just so grateful for her because like it really helped me to learn the strategies that I didn't know, never been involved in any of this stuff. So along the way, I learned the strategy itself. So for us, what we do is a free boot camp. Usually it should be paid. I was told by a lot of people in the industry, they were like, you're crazy to offer this boot camp for free with being a high ticket. Because a lot of times the industry will tell you, you need to for a high ticket. Because let's step back. My program is $5,000. And so we're offering it for $1,000 off. So it actually comes out to be $4,000. A lot of people, that anything that's high ticket, so anything AKA over $1,000, a lot of people say you must pay for the boot camp. We were until a week before, which my team hated me so much for pulling it all. So I pulled it and was like, you know what? Because I'm so niched, I want to give this for free. First time we ever ran the boot camp, first time we ever did it. And so what we did was we planned out the boot camp, and then AKA was, here's all the assets, everything's ready. We hired like a company to help us like create the slides and everything. So that cost us like $5,000 to put together. So that was our direct cost. And so anyways, we put together this boot camp. Of course, every morning I was listening to what the accountants and bookkeepers who were attending the boot camp really wanted. And so I was like, every morning right before, recreating slides. And I was like, why do I do this to myself? I could have just like been okay with the ones we had. But I like to listen to what people really need versus what I thought they needed. So we shifted it. And then the boot camp came around on Friday, was when we opened cart, or not open cart, but like started our sale. We do a fast action bonus. The fast action bonus for them was a lifetime access of support, because usually it's only 6 months for a group coaching program. And then from there, we just kind of have regular day-to-day like emails and things just going out. Today we closed cart, and for us, it's budget behind the scenes and making sure that we're on track. Like I said, we do have a separate salary spreadsheet that also does the compensation based off of how much we make when we hit our goals minus our expenses, how much the team's going to get to bonus. And we share that with the team. We Slack them every day to let them know, like, guys, we're almost there. And it incentivizes the team to also take action to like show up on stories or show up and do whatever it is that they need to do or bring up new ideas. And then from there, usually what we'll do is after we track all the data, which every day we update the sales and what's going on, and we do like the same thing for our clients in this kind of capacity. And then what we do is we analyze it. We'll then do the bonus payout. We are doing a downsell this time. which essentially is the replays of the boot camp because a lot of people really liked it and they're just not ready to move forward. And so we also changed the price to that. It was originally 100 and now it's going to be almost 200. So things keep shifting over here. But from there, after the downsell and we finalize everything, we'll do like a recap on our team. And then from there, that's when we're going to decide what investments do we want to make? Like, do we need to hire someone? Do we want to, you know, sprinkle in something that we've been wanting to or put in more money towards our 401k to lower the tax liability? Like, whatever that looks like. So that's just where the strategy kind of comes in and play.
Amazing. And yeah. Do you use Excel spreadsheets? Like, how would someone organize all this? Yeah,
yes, Excel. 100%. Now, just good old spreadsheet goes a long way. It doesn't need to be a fancy software. We always tell people, always start with the basics and then you can add layers later. It's with anything in business. Like, we all know how that goes. But for me, it makes the most sense for us to just do what's the numbers? What are we bringing in? What are the payment plans? What is this? What is that? That way it's simple, straightforward, just to give you the data you need in every launch or every time after. You can just build on it, more KPIs, more details, and more info.
What are the most basic things that someone should absolutely be paying attention to numbers-wise on their Excel spreadsheet?
I think it depends on your goals. And this is where we have to ask them, like, what makes the most sense for you? So for example, I'll use like a service provider, right? So a lot of service providers or even course creators, they say, oh yeah, my course is amazing. People love it. It's great. We've got testimonials. Cool. But maybe you don't realize that you're actually losing money from actually delivering on your service, especially when you do higher ticket stuff that's more, how do I say it? Like high touch points, like where your team is way more involved. You're probably coaching on a weekly basis. So what we do is what we recommend is doing a cost analysis based off of your service. So if you want to know if your services are profitable, see how much money you're bringing in. What are your direct costs? Which direct costs are anything that would be needed and necessary to deliver on the service or deliver on the course? So let's just say that you are, I don't know, a e-com business. That would be the shipping in order to ship it out, the material that you use to make it. So you have to look at your direct costs and whatever's after is what you're truly profiting. And so what I always recommend is look at your services, look at your courses and stop letting your ego get in the way and thinking that like, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, and really analyze it. But I can tell you from experience, most people really dread looking at KPIs, looking at stats, and even looking at metrics, because the reason they do that is because they're fear that they might not have the money they think and they've told everyone they have.
And I could imagine it being really empowering when you actually do get a grip on your finances. And I'm sure there's must be some objections that you go with over with some people that come to you, clients, people like that. What are some of the objections? Yeah.
100%. I think a lot of the times, like when we have conversations with people in general, they don't want to share their books. They don't want to like kind of pull the curtain behind the real mess that's really happening because they fear that they're going to be judged. And I'm going to be honest. We say that we're not going to judge you, but we probably will be judging you just a little bit if you're spending a lot of money at the strip club. No offense to strippers, but what I mean is like, of course, we're going to be like, yo, what's happening over here? But like, those are the only moments we're really judging. But outside of that, it's like, we don't care what's going on. And because we see numbers all the time, we don't see it as like, it's very transactional for us. So there's not really like emotion tied to it. But for the business owner, there's a lot of emotion in it. And they're really scared to show us what's going on. I hear this a lot. I'm really embarrassed that I don't have this answer. I'm really embarrassed that I don't know this. And I'm like, that's okay, but you will know now. The fact that you're here and that you showed up tells me that you actually want to know, even though you're probably scared to shit, to actually know and be aware of maybe your business is not where it should be. And that clarity right there is probably the most powerful thing, because then you know how to pivot. And if you don't know how to pivot the business, then you're gonna be like one of those next statistics, which is most businesses don't survive after 5 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I could imagine having your finances exactly in front of you allows you to know exactly where to pivot and what directions. And how do you do that when you, after a launch, you bring in, you know, let's say you're definitely going to smash your $500,000 goal this month or this launch this week. Woo-hoo! But yeah, oh, for sure. It's already done.
Vibes. You've got to put all the vibes out in the world.
Oh, yeah. I've given you all of them.
Yeah.
But once you hit that, so what are you doing next after you like you have this amazing launch? What's next?
I think it just depends. So for me, I am an over deliverer by heart. It's just who I am and I always have been. I'm an open book and I will try to support people wherever I can. With that said, inside of my courses, I'm known for how much I actually do. I'm an under promiser but over deliverer. And so in my big group coaching program, one thing that a lot of the firms that come to work with me need is that they need to hire a team. They're maxed out, they're overwhelmed, they're burnt out, they're working all the time having to run payroll for clients. So what we do is we teach them how to create better client experience systems and whatever that stuff looks like. So because of it, a lot of people have a tendency in my industry to not hire people because of the one thing, which is a job description. They get stuck on like the writing and what should I say? And that's the one thing that stalls them. It's one of the most important steps, right? And so we are investing right now and we hired a consultant. They're building out like a custom AI bot. And I think we paid them around, I want to say it was like $8,000 to build out four custom AI bots that are going to live inside of the group coaching program. So for me, that was important. The experience of my students was the most important thing and not me buying a house or me doing this. It's actually being reinvested back into it. So one of the things that the AI bot can do is we create like a sales page like job description because we are asking people to trade their life to work with us. And so it has things like, we're looking for this. Like it's like very fluffed up. And so it's a strategy that we use. And so this bot can actually use our strategy and like it can spit out an account manager role, bookkeeper role, if they should be part-time or full-time based off the number of hours they have. So we're reinvesting back in the program to actually create those bots that make it easier for people. Everyone's like, what are you going to name it? I was like joking around. I was like, I'm going to name it. You now no longer have an excuse to not hire because you couldn't write a job description. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yes. Yes.
So like those are things that we do, but like we try to listen to what like we kind of pick up on our consulting calls with our clients. Like what is it that is, what makes you like driven to do what you do? If it's service-based, it might be a little bit different. For example, maybe someone just hasn't had the cash flow to create gifts when they're onboarding new clients, like a social media manager or something. Maybe now they can use that money and those finances to actually up-level their client experience. And so we, if we don't support in like the op side of things, we have connections, we connect them with the right people. When we see large numbers from our clients, we typically are then introducing them to our financial advisor because, and then the CPA, the tax strategist, because at this point they're making fuck you money and it's time to put your big girl panties on and go do something with it and make sure that you are investing it, maybe having opportunities to create 401ks on your teams, profit sharing, all those things. So it's really looking at what are their goals, not just in business, but in life too, and how can we get them there?
Is this something everyone, every business owner should be paying attention to right now? Or is there a certain time and place in business where you get to and you're like, okay, I need to get really serious about this?
Yeah, I think there's like a turning point. So like the best way I can describe this is when we all first start our business, it's usually like a side hustle, right? And it's usually a lifestyle business. And what that means is we're usually doing it because we want to pay bills and we want to go out and we want to have cocktails and go travel. And then all of a sudden, like one day it just kind of hits you where you're like, oh shit, like I have a big girl. I've girl bossed way too hard. It is way too much. It's like that mug, that thing that says I girl boss way too hard. It's like the most hilarious like Instagram thing too. But anyways, then so your true. Business, right?
Yeah.
It's
oh yeah.
Just all of a sudden from a lifestyle business into what I like to call mission-driven business. And it's no longer about you. You've made enough money. You're happy with the car that you're able to get because of all the hard work. Now you're feeding other people. And so when your business becomes that mission-driven business, that's when you really have to start to analyze, now what is next for me to up-level into what I truly want? And like I said, we don't know. When I first started, I never wanted to hire. I just wanted a little side hustle. And here we are, girl bossed way too hard. Like, having 500,000 launches in a week. Like, I don't even know how I got here. Obviously, it didn't happen overnight, but it's just the reality of it is that when you start to feel that shift that you no longer are being selfish with the money, tells me that now you're starting to think bigger, and that's when you need to focus on those things. It's good to know at an early stage, but at the same time, like, you don't have the cash flow to be pulling moves like healthcare for your team or 401ks for your team. Like, the reality of it is it's not possible always, and that stuff does cost a lot of money to have.
And what are some of the shifts that someone could take if they're just doing this maybe for a bit of a side hustle, or maybe they're not a mission, totally mission-driven business?
Yeah.
What are some of the shifts that you see in people when they come to you that they're like, okay, this is a mission-driven business, maybe in mindset, energetic, maybe the strategy in their own business?
Yeah, to be honest, we attract a very, very specific type of person. So we work with like a specific like industry and niche, but at the same time, we find that we attract specifically 7, 6, 7, and 8-figure women that are just badasses, like powerhouses on a mission. The thing is, this is what always happens. I'm telling you, this is a freaking trend. They get on a call, they're excited. We do the books. It's been about a year. Maybe they do consulting because we have different like tiers. Let's just say that they do consulting, but they've been driving themselves to the ground because like they're just so overworked and overwhelmed. They're trying to bring people on. Then what happens is almost a year later, this happens almost every time. Man, Alyssa, I don't know if I want to do this. Like I feel like I'm killing myself to deliver on the thing that I want. something has to give. And my questions to them are like, is it going to be you, or can we just have someone else do it for you? And a lot of the times people just are so scared to hire because they're like, I don't want that liability. I don't want this. I don't want that. Well, one, it doesn't have to be an employee. Well, I should take that back. Talk to an HR person. They'll tell you if they need to be an employee or not. Depends on your state, because I'm in California. So yeah, we have to do all employees, unfortunately. But anyways, when they hit that point where I start to see the burnout, and I can predict the burnout, like before they can even feel it. When they hit that burnout stage, tells me they really, really love and they're passionate about what they do, but something has to go. And that means that's where we're really looking at the cash flow. We're really starting to budget around now. We have to start hiring. And you have to ask that question, do I really want this as bad as I thought I did a year ago? And a lot of the times when you get to that point, you don't realize how much it's affecting you internally if you don't sit with yourself in those questions. And so our consulting is not the normal type where, you know, we just cover, you know, numbers on a report. It's so much deeper because we have to listen to them and what's happening. So from there, that's when we're saying, okay, let's hire someone. Thank God I have a lot of experience with all of these things because this is what I do in my other company, but I don't bottleneck myself. My team is also trained to handle these conversations as well. We try to do our best to give insight as much as we can, but outside of like the day-to-day ops, we just connect them with like our ops person or whoever that looks like that can actually support them in the implementation of those things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some of the, when you see the burnout coming and when you're finding out, okay, we need to figure out something about your cash flow, we need to figure out something about hiring, is it usually the first thing you pay attention to is, yes, they need help, yes, they need to hire? And what are some of the steps that someone can take in order to do that?
Yeah, a lot of the times it's, like I said, we have to ask the first question of, what do you really want? Because some people don't want to manage other people. They just don't internally. But then if their big goal is to continue this and to be able to travel, like a lot of times, a lot of the people we attract happen to want to travel or they have kids or whatever that looks like. We have to first ask them, like, if this is what you want and you want to be able to go to Paris for a month to be able to do this, realistically, you're probably going to need this kind of money. And even if we say this, you're probably going to need a little bit more because let's be real, you love champagne. So don't get crazy. So we first have to like get serious about what they really need. And then from there, we're really looking at, hey, how is this employee going to impact you? The reality is most employees don't give you a, like turn around and give you like a profit within like the, for until like after 3 months because you got training, they work slower. It's just the reality of things. And so from there, we have to let them know, like, it's going to cost you a little bit more. It's going to cost you also your time up front to make this happen. But ultimately, it can affect you like this, and it can help you create more opportunities to bring on more clients or more courses that you can do, or help have someone hired to deliver on your courses, like hiring coaches or prior students who have just had amazing success. Like, there's so many different ways that they can work through this, but we just have to have very open conversations that usually don't even tie around a number. It's usually just what they need.
Is there any other questions that you really need to ask business owners like this, or just business owners in general?
I think if I were to say any question they should probably ask themselves, one, it's getting really deep of what you truly want, but also what you truly want now might not be what you want in the future. And so always revisiting that vision. So for myself, I actually write myself every single year a future letter to myself about the money I want to make, the type of people I want on my team. It sounds so freaking cheesy, but
I'm all about this.
I know, me too. I'm all about this life. Other day, I actually stumbled across mine from, it was marked March 23 of 2020. And this is right when Workflow Queen had just started. And it said something about hitting $1 million and to find someone on my team. And it like literally, I described them to a T. And I used to joke around to say like, I smelled that person before I hired them. And I swear to God, like it sounds super creepy and weird, but like, I felt like I envisioned them to the point where I could smell what they would smell like if they were in my presence. And I looked at it and I was just like bawling, man. I just was crying because I was like, holy shit, I asked for it. And now we're here and I girl boss too hard, you know? So I think just like take the time to really analyze what you really truly want. And then from there, what's the money that you want to take home? Because I think a lot of people are always concerned or really look at the vanity metric versus really looking at what's your take home going to be? Because just because you made 100K does not mean that you take home 100K. We all wish it did, but that's not the reality of it.
Yeah. And then you look at the take home and then you look at the expenses as well. But that would be after you figure out what you want.
Exactly. And then one really, really big thing that I always recommend anybody to do is to look at how much time are you spending in the business on whatever it is. Maybe it's a course. So we use something called Clockify, and we actually recommend the same setup to our clients. Sign up for Clockify. time track everything that you do, even if it's for 30 days straight, and have your whole team do this as well. And just remind them, because they will give you pushback. It's not micromanaging. It's actually for data purposes only. Each of those tasks that you're doing, make sure to tag them if it has to do with a certain service or a certain course or a certain thing. Make sure they're tagged. And then at the end of the 30 days, we actually analyze the time tracking data to see how much time is being spent. If it's you as a business owner, your time doesn't count. Like, you don't cost anything for the company because it's just you. Even if you are a W-2 employee of your own company, you're not affected by it. But your team, however, look at how much you're paying your team and then looking at how much time they're spending on each thing. The reason I say this is because that data and information can allow you to see, one, the profitability of each of your services if you need to adjust pricing, increase your rates, whatever that looks like. But also, if it is just you, because a lot of the listeners, it might just be them who's going to be doing time tracking. If you are spending, let's just say, 5 hours on one of your courses to deliver every single month, and you would love to outsource that to another person who, let's just say that they're going to cost you $25 an hour. What we want to do is look at how much are you currently making? How much are you taking home because it's just you, but how much time are you spending? Then what we do is what we call a profit analysis. And we use like a calculator for this, where essentially we take the number of hours the business owner was working, look at how much it would now cost you with the team. And now you'll start to really see based off the numbers, like, oh my God, I'm actually going to be losing money if I have this team. And so it helps people to bring awareness around, I know I want to hire these people, but realistically, I cannot afford them. So then it actually even calculates at the bottom, it'll spit out a number that tells them how much they need to increase their rates by, or their courses, their programs, whatever, in order to not only have their take home, but also have all the information to know and understand how much they should be hiring and what to expect that their cost is going to be ultimately.
Oh my God, that's like so powerful. I use Clockify and I'm already thinking of all the ways that I can start to incorporate this, and I could imagine how empowering it is to know that you are actually going to make more money with more employees, or on the other hand, less employees, or with this course, that you're going to make way more money doing memberships or courses rather than doing private coaching.
Yep. Or their income's going to go down.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to go down a lot of times. We do this profit analysis. They're like, oh yeah, I really want to hire this person. It's great. I'm like, cool. That's what you think is going to be great, that you're going to add on all these different services. But the reality is you need to increase your rates if you want to continue bringing home. So let's just say that your salary that you want to take home is, let's just say, 100K, right? You're a W-2, you're an S-Corp, and you're taking home 100K. You need to make sure that you're still taking home that money, but at the same time, it's not affecting anything on the outside. So maybe that's a simple increase of $25 per course. That's it. Something as simple as that is going to just give you just a slight edge to be able to give you just enough to be able to support you with a bigger team that can help you with the delivery. But also, you want to have your back end ready. And that means your systems, your processes, your documentation to be ready for that hire. And if you don't let that stall you, and don't let perfectionism get in the way and think that you need to have everything correct, because smart team members can help you build it with alongside you, and you don't have to be alone in doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as workflow or back end processes, are there any that you do recommend that people should be setting up?
I think it just depends on the industry. I think this is one of those, like for me, we're very specific with the accounting industry, what we do at Workflow Queen. But for us, we don't have an ever-ending loop. Our clients, because we're doing them on a monthly basis, the project never closes. So that's why our project management is very unique in the way that we do things. But other industries, let's just give an example. We work a lot with social media managers, and we have several of them that we've like given recommendations on how to like structure the back end. A lot of that is, for example, if you are a social media manager, using something like a Google Doc or something like Notion for each and every one of your clients, having a profile where you're almost profiling every single one of them. And the way that I train my team on what this means, it's going to sound so ridiculous, but it makes sense, is imagine you were hired by the CIA and you had to assassinate somebody.
that's great. Oh my God.
Because imagine, like, have you ever seen those like movies where they have the little folder and they like have, oh yeah, he loves to go to this coffee shop here. Like, this is his like daily life. Like, these are his habits. And so if you have clients that you are offering a higher tier service, like if that's a way that you can train your team, that's the best way we can. Essentially, you want to make sure that anybody can step in, read the profile, and be able to do what they do, because our clients, your spending habits would be so different than another business. There's people who commingle their finances. There's people who you might use the same vendor as someone else, but for one person, it's a direct cost, while for you, it's a regular expense. Like, we build profiles on each client. So I always recommend to the people who are delivering services to clients is building those profiles, because that's the one thing you think it's an SOP. You think it's a process. You think it's documentation, but it's actually the profile that's probably the most important thing to deliver. And that's why you can't let it go, is because you're like, they don't know my clients like me. Well, duh, because you haven't documented it. So like, pretend like you're going to assassinate them and you need to hand over a folder. So that's how you do it.
So when you plan to assassinate your clients, what do you do with all this data? Like, how do you actually plan it out and fulfill your mission?
Right. I was slacking one of my team members like the other day, and one of our clients had like said something, and I was like, these are perfect things, an example of what you need to be documenting. And she's fairly new. And so I told her the CIA assassination thing, and she was laughing so hard. And I was like, for real though, it's like exactly what it is. And it's funny because when we actually use a very unique system. So we actually go to find our clients by giving them gifts. So we do some high research. So like, let's just say it's you. And I'm like, oh my God, I really would love her as a client. I would have Kylie is her name. And she says she's a professional stalker, and that's pretty much what she is. And she can go in and she'll look at your Instagram, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, and like she'll do a lot of research on you. So I know that you're pregnant. So we would find out that you're pregnant. So we probably send you, did this recently for someone and we landed a client from it. We sent her a time capsule thing where it's like it prompts throughout the years to write a future letter to your child. And it's a really beautiful like time capsule like thing. And then it came with like a cute little book. And it was so beautiful, but she's also pregnant. So she knew like what would really like hit in her soul. And we mailed it to her, and we gave her a letter. And we were like, we've been following you around on Instagram, and I think that you are the people that we want to support, and we think we can do that. She straight up left her bookkeeper because of this gift that we gave her. It was insane. Like, it's crazy. But anyways, the reason I'm bringing that up is because like she's like profiles everybody, and it's hilarious because we have like so much information on so many people.
I mean, that's so powerful though. I know how powerful it is, especially in this day and age where most things are not customized because everything is done by AI and it's just very blanketed, generalized. Yep. So receiving something that is so meaningful, and as a pregnant woman, if I receive that gift, like, if you want to work with me, like,
I'm done, whatever you want. Free.
That is the cutest. That is like so cute. You're like going to even make this pregnant woman cry a little bit, but that is like so cute. And that's a very good idea that I should probably start doing myself. But I love that personalization. And it really, and it really sounds like you are so committed to customer experience.
Oh yeah.
And that you want your clients to be so committed to customer experience. And that is just another way of you embodying this. And, and you could also charge higher prices.
Yep.
But for me, most importantly, it's I get to show my love language of gift giving and my love language of being thoughtful. And I get to do that type of stuff. But it's amazing. It starts before they become a customer.
Yeah. And it's the, what do they call it? Like the butterfly effect or the ripple effect, whatever that slogan. I'm like the worst at slogans, so don't quote me on anything. But it's like whatever it is.
We quote
like,
on everything now.
I'm so bad at it. For the longest time, I thought, right? For the longest time, I thought that fatigue was fagitude for 30 years of my life. 30 years of my life. And I actually was on stage in Vegas speaking in front of like 400 something people at a bookkeeper convention. And I was like, yeah. And then when you get decision fagitude, and I was so committed to it. My friend called me out when we were in Nashville at a retreat that we did for our students. And she goes, can I ask you how you spell fagitude? And I was like, yeah. So I start spelling it, spelled out like fatigue, right? And she goes, one more time, how do you say it? And I was like, fagitude. Like, I'm like, why is this such a thing? And she goes, Alyssa, just so you know, it's actually like fatigue. And everybody at the table spit their waters out. I spit my water. I was like, 30 years of my life. And everyone, she's like, did you realize that you said that on stage in front of a bunch of people? And people were probably Googling, ooh, what's this new word that Alyssa was bringing?
Yeah. She's so passionate about this word. It's like the new word. Fagitude. Wow.
So bad. And I even used to think that gecko, like get to the get-go, was a gecko, like an actual like lizard.
Oh my God. That's so good.
I'm like literally the worst. I have problems.
I love this. Oh my gosh. I actually, honestly, I can relate. I have so many like pen, pillow, milk. I mean, there's so many weird words that I say, but maybe not
making words up.
Yeah, maybe not like that far. That's pretty good. So when people say fatigue, were you just like, what's that?
Yeah, for real. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what that means. And then I had to like Google it. And I was like, this whole time, like, why did my parents, like, why did they do this to me? Like, Could someone have called me out? The worst of it is like, I've done so many webinars and so many podcast episodes where like I legit during interviews have said fagitude. And they're probably like, are you writing it down? I probably should look this up.
Yeah, this sounds brilliant. This sounds so brilliant. I feel like this is the answer to all of my questions.
And I don't even remember what the question that you had for me because we just got distracted, but that's my life.
Yeah, I love it. Oh my gosh. And I love that, you know, it's such a good reminder that even the most successful people fuck up.
All the time.
And they, yeah, all the time, like just as much as everyone else. And yeah, that you don't have to be perfect and that you can be giving these amazing webinars to hundreds of people and you can still say, make up words. And if you're passionate enough, you can make them very believable.
Make them like a thing. Yeah. And
yeah, I think
like goes to show like what we do is so undervalued. Like, honestly, when I even say the word bookkeeper, I think it's just such a like, it's like, it's a gross word. I think it's just like a weird word. It's just so underplayed, like what we do, the value. And that's why we really push like the word consulting, because we're like, it just sounds, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But anyways, I think the reason why a lot of people like to work with us is because, one, we hire people very similar to me, which is like, we're just down to earth and we just want you to know that you're seen and we'll probably joke with you. Like, we become friends with our clients. Like, we have some that we've met in person. Like, I have a lot of people. It's so funny. My sister told me this many, many years ago that I sound like Jennifer Lawrence and that I'm funny like her. And
you do. You do sound like her.
And then when I do that, everyone makes that same damn face because they're like, oh my God, you do sound like Jennifer Lawrence. And
oh,
it's
my God, I can't believe
funny.
I haven't picked that up.
Yeah. And it's hilarious, though, because since then, like, I try to, like, let people know, like, you're just going to get the Jennifer Lawrence experience, like, because it's probably going to be jokes because a lot of people think it's, like, looking at the reports, but, like, you don't give a shit about your profit margin. Like, and I already know you don't even know what the hell I'm even saying. Like, so why are we going to talk about a profit margin? Yeah, obviously, we're going to let you know if like you should be nervous about it, but we want to know what the real stuff is. And so for us, even like if we use ChatGPT to like crank out copy or something, we actually put use the voice of Jennifer Lawrence like in our copy. It's hilarious.
Oh, that is amazing. Now, yeah. I honestly, you guys go and look at the video if you're not looking at the video right now, but now I cannot unsee Jennifer Lawrence. And now I cannot, literally, I'm like, it's like a little surreal. So,
yep.
Oh my gosh. And so I think the last question actually you were talking about was the CIA. So have you like CIA'd her file?
I'm like, should I have a profile on Jennifer Lawrence?
Right?
Probably in my brain.
Yeah, at least for copy. I mean, ChatGPT exactly. Has it for you. So, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love it. So, yeah, I love it. But that's so cool, though, that we can go on this incredible, crazy, wild tangent and you're a bookkeeper. Like, you know, or that's what you guys like that really like when I, you know, when we do think of bookkeepers, when we do think of finances and we do think of this other world in Excel, it feels so stuffy, or
it
can feel
boring.
So stuffy,
so
it's,
boring.
It can be so, and that's probably why most business owners don't want to look at it, and it's just it's just something we don't want to pay attention to. And so I love that. I love this energy that you're like making it fun and you're making it just lighter and it's not so stuffy. My bookkeeper that I met with, like my partner was like, oh, he looks like a bookkeeper. He literally looks
like the one that you picture in your head with student tie, like the one who talks over you and like, you know.
Yeah, like the epitome of this. Yep. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
so
he's
just,
like
it's
that.
It's really refreshing. It's refreshing to know that you're in putting this different type of energy into a business, into a brand.
Yeah.
And that is 100%, I would imagine, one of the reasons why you are so successful in this industry is because you are so damn different.
Yeah, different is a big thing. I mean, even like at Workflow Queen, so trying to get other accountants, like who are the old school CPA, old school student tie, like I say, and there's nothing wrong with that. If someone who's listening, that's what you're into. Like, we all have our thing, right? We all have our fetishes. I'm just kidding. But anyways, like you all have your own thing like this, right? Exactly. Like student tie, like that's okay. Those people are probably just as smart. But the thing is like, there's a new generation coming. There's a new way of doing things. And I wanted to stand out. I can't tell you how many times I had hate comments on like Facebook ads because of one, I'm fully tattooed. Like I can't take her serious. Like I used to have really long red hair and my picture is literally me with a crown. Like my magnetic picture is literally me with a bubble in my mouth. Like, you know, just like it's playful. And I know a lot of people say that I'm not serious. I'm like, cool, because you just missed out on all the, I think that I'm a pretty damn smart person. and that I've got a lot of shit figured out. But do I have my life figured out? Absolutely not. But I got a lot of business stuff figured out. But for me, I'm like, that's fine if you don't want to come here. But it's also created what I realized with me being very authentic to myself has also allowed my students at Workflow Queen to start to embody who they really are. Because now we're having less stiffy people and people are like, Alyssa, you just made me feel comfortable to just be myself. And so I'm hoping that not if you are working with a bookkeeper, that somehow you stumble across someone I've supported. We've supported like thousands and across the world, other bookkeepers and accounts that maybe they have interacted with me and have become that person that you want to feel like is your friend and your financial bestie. I had a girl right before I went on stage at that same place. I said, attitude. She right before, and I was like freaking out, by the way, first time public speaking. And I was like cotton mouth. I thought I was going to die, pretty much blacked out when I was on stage. But anyways, she walked up to me and she had purple hair, but she was older. Like when I mean older, like probably over like 60, probably 70. And she walks up to me and she was so sweet. Her name was Laura. She goes, Alyssa, I'm in your kickoff with the Sonics. We have like another program. And I just want you to know, like, because you have your hair red and you just embody who you are and you just show yourself, I wanted to do it for myself. She dyed her hair purple. And she's like, because of you, you made me feel okay that it's okay to be different. Freaking crying. I'm literally crying right before I'm about to go on stage. I'm like, oh, I love this, but I'm also like about to like go die on stage. Like, but it was a good reminder of like the impact of what I was doing and why it was so important for me to get up on that stage and do it. But man, it was so ridiculous because the first thing I said when I walked up on stage, I forgot everything I was supposed to talk about was, oh my God, this is really overwhelming. I don't know what to do with my hands. Straight up Talladega Nights quote when he's doing that thing with his hands and he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. He's all like being interviewed. Yeah. That was me on stage. It was sad.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, it's funny because I had an interview right before this and we literally talked about 100% being yourself. And I told you about like this girl's like a bartender and uber successful, but it's and just swear word after swear word, which I love. Like, I love swearing, but it was such, and again, you talking about this, by you being yourself, your clients feel more comfortable. And guess what? Now that girl has dyed her hair purple and now that she's becoming fully herself, she's going to attract those people that also want to open up and be themselves and feel that freedom and feel that authentic expression come out forth. And I really think I see that as a huge shift. Like you were just saying, that's a huge shift in the industry, but that is a huge shift in the industry and the world. Like we all just want to be seen. We all want to be seen.
Everyone does. Every single person. Yeah. I think that there's just not a lot of people listening because we're all too wrapped up, which don't get me wrong. Like we're all way too wrapped up in our life. Like we want to make sure that we make money, that we pay bills, that we forget to do things like volunteer or set aside money for charity from the business, like nonprofits, like whatever that looks like. And I think we just forget because we're so immersed in ourselves. But sometimes like just allowing yourself to be authentic really does help other people. I mean, I've lost friends. I've lost relationships with clients. Like we don't allow our clients to treat us a certain way. And if they're not like us, like which is just out there, just not worried about like what people think, because to be honest, if you're a woman, our statistic is like, I think it's less than 2% of business owners are women who make over seven figures. And if you want to not be one of those statistics, you really have to take a step back and say, I don't need to ask for anybody's permission, because the women that we attract who don't ask for permission and one, respect us like to the T are the ones that we see are the most successful. But if you're just trying to fit into a box every single day, it's not going to get you anywhere. And if you think you know all the answers, you're wrong. Like there's always an expert out there who can even give you one golden nugget that's worth their time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you, again, embody that so well in your branding and your marketing. Like when you submitted your application to the podcast, I was like looking into your branding. I was like, this girl is incredible. And it was so different. I was not expecting, because it said bookkeeping, accounting. And I was like, okay, let me check out her website. You know, and I just like nonchalantly clicked on your website. And I was like, hot damn.
This girl website's so much fun.
Wild. I was like, okay, booked. Like I sent over to my manager. I was like, get her on the podcast. So it was perfect. So I love that you're incorporating that. I mean, it's such a good, incredible way to really stand out from our market. And I mean, you're not like doing that on purpose. You're just being yourself. That's the best part.
Yes. And it literally is. And I think that's also what's allowed for our launches to be successful. A lot of people are always saying, no, but this is what the industry standards is, and this is what you have to do with your bootcamp. You have to do it this way. And it's like, I know the advice is amazing, and it's gotten me some amazing places. But if you don't, I know my industry better than anybody else. Like, if you were to try to launch with my industry, you wouldn't know that, like, they actually have a really hard time. Accountants and bookkeepers are the one business owner out there that does have a budget. And that means that they are going to take their time when deciding on a course. So we offer, like, consult calls. But most people are like, you're freaking crazy. Like, I've been on back-to-backs from 9 to 5. And, like, right after this, I've got those other consults. But I know my industry because they just need to be heard. They don't care. They need to know that it's the right investment. You know, and I think it's just really important to make sure that you're reading your audience, you're listening to what the advice is, but also listening to what's right for you and what's going to support you to be that success that you know what's best ultimately.
Absolutely. What are some of the other ways that you pay attention to exactly what the market needs or exactly what your clients need or potential clients?
Yeah, sales trending is going to be a big thing. Your own data is going to tell you a lot of stuff. Like, for example, industry standard for, like, course creators is typically around, like, I think it's like a 3 to 5% for conversion rates for when it comes to, like, launches and stuff. Like, it's pretty low. We have, like, if someone gets on a consult with me and I actually tell them they are a good fit, we have an 80% conversion rate, which is insane. But also I'm really niche down and I've got, like, the authority. But for me, it's going to be different than what we would tell our clients, because we're like, let's look at your prior launch date. And a lot of times they tell us, I don't have it. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, don't be embarrassed. You're now going to have it. So it's okay. Like, it's going to be fine. We try to look at, like, what can we predict? Because we don't know what these launches are going to be. We don't know if we're going to hit the figures that we're going to hit. We're just kind of hoping. So what we do is look at how much is your normal conversion rate? How many attendees do you usually need to have inside of your bootcamp or your free offer or on your email list, whatever that looks like, to be able to bring in X people? And then a lot of the times, I think our success for, like, the way that we do our bootcamps is I over deliver on everything. And I don't just do, like, webinar style. You know, you go to those, like, free boot camps or, like, webinars, and you're, like, sitting there, you're like, there's literally no value. They're just talking and there's nothing I'm getting out of this. I just wasted my time. So for me, I'm so big on, like, knowing that the people are so burnt out already that they don't even have time. The fact that they said they trusted me and they invested in it, I give them everything. We gave them, like, a KPI, like, dashboard. We gave them, like, a profit analysis calculator. Like, we gave them, like, so much, and they were like, whoa, like, this is insane. I can't imagine what it's like working with you. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, so you have to understand your industry by looking at your prior data. And I think this is where, always going back to the books, your finances will tell you so much information. And if you've gotten yourself to a good place in business with your income and you're running off a good old spreadsheet, you need to get it together, put your big girl panties on, and it's time to have someone professionally put it into an accounting software that you're probably missing so many goddamn deductions. It's not even funny from being on a good old spreadsheet. But some suit and tie CPA probably told you you're okay with just submitting it through a spreadsheet. So I'm here to change that. Do not do that, people.
Yes. Please tell us one of your best success stories with someone that came to you and their back in business was just a total shitstorm.
Oh, that's like every person usually. But there's no judgment.
I totally believe you. I mean, that's why they're coming to you. Yeah.
We actually had a client, and he came to us, and it was obviously a shitstorm. But here's the thing. He actually hired, I think it was like an assistant who actually worked in-house because they had like a brick and mortar. And he hired someone to, of course, do the bookkeeping because he didn't want to go the route of actually hiring a professional like a lot of people do, which is okay if you've done that. It's fine. So anyways, he hired them. I think he paid them like $20 an hour or something like that to do like the work. Royally does not know what they were doing. Oh, but my mom taught me how to do it. Or my friend was a CPA and they taught me. And I'm like, you don't know. I'm like, We'll take over. We got you. Okay. And so anyways, we came in and we assessed the books and it was just a mess. But anyways, she was inputting income incorrectly where it was double stating the income, which is very normal for course creators. Like this actually happens more often than you think. It double stated the income by 160K. And so by the time that we did the cleanup, we actually did this full blown cleanup and it was like a 3-year cleanup. By the time that we did it, we were actually able to save them over like 35K. In taxes. Like we don't do taxes, but like we can calculate what we predict could be based off their entity structure. And he was like, I can't believe it. I was like, so that cleanup fee that you paid us, and I think we charge him like around $5,000 to do the cleanup because it was 3 years of data. And I was like, you pretty much got that back. Like, you know what I mean? So usually what we do is at the very beginning of cleanups, especially cleanups, almost every client that comes to us has to have some sort of a cleanup or catching them into the system because they're like old school on a spreadsheet. We usually will download the reports beforehand and then we'll download them after we finish and we'll present them to the clients. And this is where like we stand out. Like a lot of firms don't do this. and we'll get on a call and just be like, we literally like pop champagne on a freaking call. Like, we have sparklers. It's really sad.
We celebrate with them.
Right? We're like, yeah. We celebrate them and we'll be like, look, I just want you to know the impact. Like, we let the silence seep in too. We'll be like, look, just look for a second. Look at what it was and look at what it is. And then look what you just saved. Boom, champagne. Like, the whole show.
Like, expensive bottle, right, too?
Yeah, it better be some Dom Perignon. Yeah, that part is virtual, so who's drinking it? It's me.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. A whole bottle of it.
Yeah, the whole thing. After every one of these, I'm like, guys, I'm not working today. I've got to celebrate with this client. But so we try to celebrate, like, these wins. Like, even, like, we had one of our clients who, when you're talking about wins, she came to us and she started consulting, and she has a social media management business. She's probably one of my favorite clients, I'm not going to lie. And so anyway, she came with us and she was underpricing her services. And so we did an analysis on the time, what it was going to cost her, her goals. And we were actually able to increase her average invoice value by $1,500 per client. $1,500, because she was specific to the wine industry. So she specifically did it for the wine, like wine companies, wine brands. And I was like, you are niched. You deserve to be paid more. So we did the analysis. Not only that, but she hit like six figures in like her first year. And like, she was just incredible, right? And so we celebrated with her and we sent her a gift and it was very personalized. And it was like, congrats on hitting your first six figures, because your family doesn't care. Like, I know that they do. I know that sounds really bad, but like, they don't know the impact of what it made. They only see the outcome number. They don't see all the work. Like, for me, the past couple of years, it sounds great that we've been able to hit six and seven figures and all these big goals, but that came with a lot of weight, literally, physically, like the weight, like being added on and all the different things and the stress. I've had a panic attack. Like, I've had so many things happen that when I say that number, and I don't talk to my family about the money I've made because they just won't understand. And I think that being celebrated for that kind of stuff is really impactful, and it makes the client feel seen, because I know how hard it was for them to hit that number. And to sacrifice the things that they did just to get there, you know?
Hello, amazing, wonderful people. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. And if you are, could you please share this with someone who you really, truly think needs it or would enjoy listening to these type of podcast episodes? It would really mean the world to us. Our team works so hard on these episodes, and we really try to provide the most value we possibly can for our listeners. So a few ways that you can share is take a screenshot of this episode and share it into Instagram. We would love to tag you in our stories. And a few other ways is sharing exactly what you loved about this episode and what truly made an impact in your life. And one last thing, if you are enjoying this podcast episode, if you could leave a review for us, that would be everything. It really does help our podcast, and it also helps other beautiful, wonderful people find our podcast as well. So thank you so much, and let's get back to the show. And how incredible to have it in a bookkeeper, and not, yeah. And, you know, it sounds like you do business coaching as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're a bookkeeper and you're an accountant. And, yeah. You know, and I should have asked you this actually in the very beginning, but what is the main difference between you and someone who would do your taxes? Like, what's the accounting, bookkeeping, all of
that? So bookkeeper is essentially someone who's going to make sure that all your records are going to be in place and in order to be ready to file. So we get everything ready to rock and roll. There's also different tiers of the type of work that bookkeepers do. So some people aren't comfortable with doing, for example, like e-commerce. So like, we do work with some e-commerce clients. It's actually something we're starting to put into, only because I was on a podcast giving all the value and everybody and their mom wanted to work with us after. So I was like, okay, looks like we're learning e-commerce. So here we are. My team was like, no. So now we're working with e-commerce, but a lot of people, I would not recommend someone working with a bookkeeper that doesn't understand it, because e-com has so many different moving parts. And I think for us, like, what makes us stand out is that we're very specific to an industry. So like, make sure that whatever bookkeeper you're looking for understands what you're talking about. Because someone who, if you have a construction company, trust me, you need someone who understands the construction side because of the way that projects are set up. So your bookkeeper should be the transactional side of things. And this is why I think, like, everyone thinks that we're just like VAs, but we're not. We're way more than that. But I think it depends on the bookkeeper you find. For us, we do additional layers of like service profitability analysis, like course analysis. Like, those are above and beyond. And obviously, we customize all of our packages to do all these things. But then if you want to go to your taxes file, the taxes are going to be where they're going to go in and actually file. You're going to tell you how much you owe with Uncle Sam. And we can essentially work with the tax preparer. So different types of tax preparers can be the term accountants, very similar, like lawyer and attorney. It's like, are they the same or are they different? They're actually the same, which I did find out from someone I interviewed on my own podcast. Because I was like, are they the same?
It's a good question.
Selfishly, I get all my answers from my own podcast episodes. So CPA, an accountant, and a tax preparer can essentially all file for you. But not all CPAs will file. Some CPAs only do the financial side, which is the transactional. They're like a bookkeeper as well. But a CPA, the difference between them and the regular tax preparer is a CPA can represent you in front of the IRS court. And so a CPA has a different designation. So I always recommend that you try to find someone within your state if you can to file your taxes. But if you don't file have someone in your state, it's okay as long as they're educated on your state specifics. Because, for example, in the state of California, we went through really bad winter storms where we were stuck in our homes for like 14 days. And I'm in a specific county that was affected by that. And because of that, we actually got an extra credit on our taxes. So knowing that your CPA will understand, or your tax accountant understands that and actually can put that on there, just making sure that they are educated in your state. Like I said, the bookkeeper doesn't file, but some bookkeepers do also have the tax side of things where they can do both. But just look at the credentials. A lot of people think you have to have a CPA to do your books. You have to have a CPA to file. It's such BS. It's not a thing. Like, they don't need to be there to do it. The CPA just has a designation. They learned a lot more stuff along the around the years than maybe a typical like bookkeeper would. As far as consultant, there's obviously 50 million different consultants and ways it can go. There can be like tax strategy. There can be like our financial advisor, which he works with my personal assets and also my business stuff. So we maxed out my 401k to make sure that I had the most we can lower my tax liability. Like, we did profit share calculations that had to be with the team. And so it just depends on what you're doing and what you're looking for. A lot of people come to us thinking they just want the record keeping, but we know that what they really need is actually the consulting, which is where they're going to get the true power of what we do, is understanding the numbers and understanding how to pivot. But I can tell you, most bookkeepers, just because I am immersed in this world, most bookkeepers don't offer that level of guidance because that is their first business. They've never done this before. They're just learning how to run it, and they're trying to give you business advice. Where we stand out is, this is now my third company, multiple six and seven figures. We've done a lot of different things to get us to this point. That's what differentiates us. But the reality is, not all of the clients will talk to me directly, but my team is highly trained to take care of those questions, those answers, and they can answer almost like me, building CIA profiles, Avi.
Yeah, duh. Knowing who to assassinate next. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. It seems like most business owners just don't, even if they have the data with the Excel spreadsheet, yeah. It's like, then what?
They don't do anything.
Then what?
It.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. I mean,
they just stare at it. They stare at it and hope that something will jump out and slap them in the face and tell them, do this to your business. Like, that's not going to happen. Nobody's going to jump out at you and tell you what you're doing. And so I think that's the value in these investments, because I could tell you from experience, a lot of people, all they want to do is hire someone to understand Facebook ads to make more money, Pinterest so I can get more pins, Instagram so I can get more exposure. But why is nobody talking about what's actually happening from the data? However, we can predict through cash flow projections what could happen based off your trending data. That's why also your data is so important. But at the same time, it's because so many people are worried about the next dollar, but not looking at how the first dollar was made. And that data is the most important data to move and shift the company. And that's where we fit into the picture. And that's where we take a step back and say, what are the true KPIs? Where are you really at? What needs to maneuver to get to that next step? And I'm just wish this industry understood that, like, just because a dollar was already made and paying it to us doesn't make it that you're losing money. It's actually more powerful. But they're too concerned with the designer, the marketer, how do I make more money? Instead of looking at it. And that just, I just wish people understood that a little bit more.
It seems like people are going more for width rather than going in depth, mm-hmm. and not looking at the 20% of their business that is bringing 80% of the results.
Exactly.
And it sounds like that's what you guys help with.
Yep.
And really uncovering that. Yeah. Uncovering mm-hmm. a lot of things for people. And then, and then I would imagine also saying, you all also say, allow them to say no to the things that are not bringing money in. And then you just slowly and efficiently keep honing that, honing, being more efficient with the business and just keep slowly just streamlining the whole process and
everything.
Continuously
it's like,
making it better.
Like, without messing up a slogan, don't fix what's not broken.
Uh-oh. Is that the one? Get ready. Is it what? Get ready, guys.
Did I do it right? Is that one right?
Wait, which one is that? I didn't even hear it.
don't fix what's not broken. Correct? Is that the slogan?
It sounds good.
Pretty close, right? So.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right? What I mean is,
I can't wait to put the quotes for the episode afterwards.
It's gonna be all the echo. It's gonna be all bad. So what I mean by this, and the reason why you're not going to try to like maneuver things, is because examples are launches. So for us, we have such a repeatable launch. Granted, this one was the first time we've ever ran this one specifically for this specific offer. And so our other one, it's so predictable that we can actually just launch it like as needed. We could do it like a month in advance and be able to like hit our 100K launch. Like, that's how repeatable it's been. Granted, I did learn this process from my coach that I was talking about earlier. But however, what we do now with this new one, we don't know if what's going to work. We don't know if it's going to be right or what's happening. Granted, we also haven't been doing Facebook posts. We have not run ads for Open Cart. Like, we are seriously sending out emails the day of. It's been really, really crazy. But now we'll have a repeatable and the fact that we're about to hit like half a mil with like, I have not shown up on my stories. I have not done all the things that most people would say that you need to do. And it's just because I think we just brought a lot of value is what it is and offered consults. But I think it's just so important to understand, like, you have to not try to fix something that's already working for you. If you can just take a step back and say, like, well, why are we going to change up this process? The only thing we change in our launches is we're adding new layers, like an alumni panel, or we're adding like a new thing because now we have capacity. But like this one, we usually prep 3 months in advance, but my poor team, it was a month before for a first time hosting this one thing. Poor people, they're like, I gotta go. And I'm like, yeah, but they're about to bonus, so they're gonna be grateful later when they get a fat check. So you're welcome.
Hopefully your name is not on the CIA file, Nick.
Exactly. I feel like they've got their own assassination list over there. I'm on one of them.
I don't think so with that bonus.
Exactly. That's what makes it easier.
Yeah. So and it sounds like you continue just going depth. Sure. And for this launch, what are the things that work? If you're not doing stories, if you're not doing ads, what are the main things that are working for this launch specifically?
Ooh, I think it's the consults. It's the opportunity for people to get on a call. And it's actually specifically with me next time around, because of how fast my calendar booked up, we're going to have one of our other coaches. She's actually going to open up. So I'm going to give her sales commission. So that's another thing that your bookkeeper, most typical bookkeepers, cannot help you with. But we do is like analyzing, like, what can those commissions be for the team? So we plan to open it up. But I think the consults allow people, like I said, they're not even asking me technical questions about the program. They're really asking me, like, can you validate that I'm ready for this? And I do. I've actually told plenty of people that they are not ready for this. I'm like, hey, you actually, like, unfortunately, we need people at X number of clients. Like, you need to be at this stage in business. And I'll tell them no. But I'm like, hey, but circle back. We're still here to support you. We still have our podcast, free resources. Go check out our Instagram. I love sharing my behind the scenes where, like, you got your clock from. Like, all that kind of stuff. The best thing ever. So, like, I think opening up the consults allowed people to know that they could be seen and heard and know that their investment is going into a right spot. That's been a big thing for us. And I think the other thing was the over deliverability from the bootcamp itself, because one, we pivoted to not charge for it. And most people in the industry told me that was a terrible idea for high ticket, but look who's laughing now. Anyways, so the bootcamp, we over delivered. And I think that people knew that going forward, and like the way that we strategically like filtered in everything, and the fact that I'm extremely niched is probably another thing, because like I can use words like QC, month end. You might not know what that is, but in my industry, that's pretty big. It's a thing that they struggle with. So because I can talk their language, just like why we attract a lot of course creators, because I know what the word launch means. I know what goes into it. I know what goes out of it. And so does our team. And so I think that that's what helps our launches to be so successful without all the typical things that the industry says need to be the standard.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as acquisition goes, did you let people know via email list, or what was that? What did it look like in that way?
Yeah, so for us, it's emails. So the bootcamp too, we did run ads. So we ran $3,000 in ads, so Facebook ads, to go to the bootcamp. And we did end up trying to turn on, I think, Facebook ads for like when we did Open Cart, but I think we only did like 1,000 because we wanted to test it, because it's just, I don't know, high ticket's so hard to sell on a Facebook ad, in my opinion. I think as long as they get my personality and they get immersed in my world, it's like a no-brainer for them. But I need to find out how to get them into the world, and then it makes sense. So email, we had a podcast, I have my own podcast, but it's like specific to the accounting industry. So we ran like my own little ads on there. And then also my biz bestie, she also helps bookkeepers and accountants. So she ran it on her podcast. We did pay for that. So we actually spent, I could probably even pull up the figures. I think total we have spent around, I want to say 16 to 17,000 on our launch total. And that's like 5K for our email series that we had to do because we have a copywriter, but we just hired her specifically for this one. Then we paid $5,000 for that company to build out the bootcamp, which I should have never done because I ended up changing the whole thing anyways. But it gave me a good foundation. The slides were already pretty, so I didn't have to like design. But anyways, that includes Stripe fees, PayPal fees, all the affiliate payments that we made out. So we also even assessed that. A lot of people don't think about that in a launch. So we assess all that stuff, and then that's our direct cost. So I think right now we're sitting at about 18,000 spent for, I mean, how much in profit? Like, it's insane. You know what I mean? Like, it just blows my mind.
It's crazy because then you can systematize, like you said, this launch over and over. Now that you, since you haven't done this before and now you have this amazing, incredible signature launch in your repertoire, and you don't have to run around with your head cut off wondering what else you should do, be bringing in your business. And you also have the numbers and data to back it up, saying, hey, was it worth hiring this copywriter? Did they make me money from this launch? And it's so fucking empowering knowing that data. I mean, data is one of the most powerful things you can have.
100%. This is where like even like business KPIs like come into handy. Like, it doesn't need to need financials, right? Like, that's something that we do for certain, like our consulting clients. Sometimes they don't want financial KPIs. They want like real data. So we analyze the goals and do all the things, but we have our own KPIs of like, what were we doing? What was the open rate? You know, how many people were actually converting? Like, we know those numbers because every single one of those numbers actually tells us how much money we're going to make. So it might not be a financial KPI, but the end goal is actually going to tell us, like, because we have this trend, we can now predict that we are going to make this amount of money if we have X. I think our goal was 800 bootcampers to be able to hit our big goal, which I don't know how immersed you are in like the launching experience, but a lot of people would be like, holy shit, you only had 800 people to get where you got to. And like I said, it's because I'm really niche and I have a name in the industry. It's insane. I remember my coach, like when I approached her and I applied for like her program to be able to like go through and learn how to like launch. I remember filling out the application. I had one person who bought my program at that time, but I knew I had something that people needed to fix their like lives and their problems. And so I applied and I put so much passion into the application. And I was like, look, I will prove to you that like I am going to be that person that like you're going to probably say no to. I've got 300 Instagram followers. No, actually, I had 100 people on my email list, 300 Instagram followers. I had like was not who was in her ballpark to attract. She reached out to me and she's like, your application, I can just feel it. She's like, you are not usually the person I would take. And it was a big investment. I think I paid like $10,000 or something. And I was really nervous. I was like, I could lose this or not. And what did I do? I went balls to the wall or nothing at all. And I immersed myself into it. And we launched. My first launch ever was 116K. Nobody knew who I was. Never ran a Facebook ad. 300 freaking followers. Less than 100 on my email list. Like, now we've grown, obviously. But like, it just goes to show that niches are in the rich. Riches are in the niches. Jesus Christ. I knew that would happen.
I know that quote.
But that's just like, it's the reality of it. And that's why I think you could charge more. You can deliver higher. Like, you could do this because that person understands. And as long as they're training their team to also understand, then like, it's okay. And I just think that that's what's made us unique and has stand out. We also do something where like, this was taught by my coach, but first in line to purchase on the Friday that we open cart gets a full refund of their program. Plus, I think we did $500. And so it creates like almost like excitement. And I can't tell you how many times I've been on the live. And like, I don't like, sometimes I don't want people to think like it's like a icky sales tactic. So I'm very honest with people when they join our bootcamp. Like, it's not meant to be icky. It's meant for you to know how passionate you are. Because if you're sitting there watching the countdown timer, it means you actually want it. And it allows you to understand if it's really resonating with you. So anyways, we have people who are like, ooh, they like get all excited and I get excited and I'm like, oh my God, something's happening. And then they're like, stop talking to tell me who first in line was. But like, that helps us a lot too. And like hyping it up, we use layers like ad event, which puts the bootcamp on there. They could save the event. It has the countdown timer. I think there's just so much more to what we put into it that has really excelled what we do. And like I said, a lot of these strategies have been taught by my coach, but a lot of the things that, like, even my coach said that were supposed to be the right way to do things, like having probably almost 3,000 people in a boot camp to get the results we're getting, we are proving to her. She no longer like eliminates the little fish. I consider myself the little fish at that time, like, because I proved her wrong, because I said, no, I'm a little fish and I'm probably not your ideal person. You've got people over here already making 7 figures, big launches. Like, I'm gonna prove you wrong.
Yes, I love that you only have 1,000 or a very small audience.
Yeah,
as opposed to, you know, some of these bigger hitters, and I keep coming back to it, but you're really building depth in your business. It's all about depth.
And relationships and voice noting people on Instagram versus just having someone responding via text. Like, I love voice noting. Like, I think the personal touches and the this is who I am. Like, I'm just down to earth. Like, I'm seriously the most casual person on like a consult call. Like, I'm not here to make you feel stupid about things. Like, I want people to feel seen and heard. And I think that just makes a world of a difference on the way that we've actually had the success, like here at Magnetic and even at my firm. Like, we have a sponsorship we're doing for Magnetic for this big event in Texas. And I had I forgot to order all the material until like yesterday. And I called them 2 days ago, actually. And the guy goes, hey, and I was like, yeah, I need something by like September 18th. He's like, you do realize that we're gonna have to order this literally today. So I had to like get everything ready to go. But anyways, he was like, it's probably not gonna get there. And I was like, and that's okay. If I show up with an 8-foot table with me and my team member, we're still gonna over deliver. And we're still gonna be a vibe and a half. And we have like t-shirts that say, ladies in the streets, freaks in the spreadsheets.
That is just like the epitome of what your branding already is. I love that. I went with that shirt.
Right? Exactly. I'll get you one. I'll have to order you one.
Oh, I need to start using spreadsheets.
Right? I just love it. I think it's hilarious. We did it once at an event called Social Media Marketing World. We were a badge sponsor last year and we wore the t-shirts and people were like, I just signed on to work with you guys because you guys were a vibe. Like, we were on stage dancing. Like, my business partner at the time, she was my partner, was on stage in full freaking pink with like ladies in the streets, like spreadsheet, like dancing, didn't even care. And they're like, you were a vibe. So we just wanted to work with you guys because of being a vibe. And it's like, we over delivered our service, but we also want people to feel like comfortable with who we are, because we're not going to be everyone's people. And I'm okay with that because there's someone else for everyone, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this whole idea of building depth with your audience and then also with yourself. You know, you get to explore your own self-expression and how you want to do your business.
Yep.
Not the way the rest of the industry goes. And I really have to attest to really putting effort into doing that depth with people that come into your audience. And it just, not only does it feel way better to them, it also feels way better for us. It feels so incredible to just give people as much love as you possibly can. And it really does come back. I mean, law of attraction, like, we live in an energetic universe. So it is so real. It is so real. And it's just, God, it's just going to come back. So really, I've made several podcast episodes, just solo episodes, talking about this exact thing.
Yeah.
Go more depth with people. And when you comment to them, give them all of you, go onto their profiles and go look at what they're actually doing and care about this person. It's not just a random person who is helping you get the fucking algorithm boosting your post type of shit. Like, it's a real person. And it doesn't even matter if they're going to buy from you or not. It will always come back to you in some way or another. So I just, you totally embody that, Alyssa. Like, oh my God, I love it. So, girl, what is one thing that we have not talked about? I know we've talked about so much.
All the things.
But what is one thing that maybe we didn't touch upon that you think would be important for my audience to know?
Ooh, I think that's a good question. If I were to say, if you are in the industry, and well, if you're a business owner, which I'm pretty sure predominantly everybody listening to this episode is probably a business owner, really look at the way that you're bringing in your money. And what I mean by that is, if you have a course, a lot of you guys are not looking at the fact that you do have failed payments and that you do have people who aren't paying their invoices. I can't tell you how many times people have come to us and like didn't realize that a client wasn't paying them for almost a year. Like, if you are not looking at that kind of stuff, it's affecting your cash flow. It's not creating a good client experience. It's also not allowing the person who's taking the program or taking the service to really value, and speaks to them that they're not even valuing you enough to even bring it up to you that they're not being charged. The reason I say this is because we, like, what something that we do, like, we actually work on people's sales process too, so if they don't want us like fully immersed in things, we can even handle portions of the business. For part of it is our failed payment system. And so essentially we'll go in and create the automation that like we need to set up, and our team will maintain it through like Airtable and their automations, and we'll connect it to Stripe and PayPal where they're bringing in money. Because a lot of people don't realize that you can be losing a lot of money by having failed payments, a lot. And I'm telling you, if you're grossing like 1.8 million, you're probably losing around 80 grand, like in total over several years, which doesn't seem like a lot every single month, but you need to be tracking that kind of stuff, following up, making sure you have a system in place. So if you don't already, my recommendation is to make sure that you are paying attention, whether it's a VA, us, someone, you, I don't care who it is, check your Stripe and check your PayPal every day, because they're not going to notify you and neither is your student. So you need to keep an eye on this stuff, or else you're not going to get the right money that you deserve for the things that you deliver on, is my problem, my biggest tip.
Amazing. Yeah, that is, yeah, absolutely powerful, 100%. Yeah. And what is your legacy that you want to leave in this world?
Ooh, legacy. That's deep. We're going to get deep today. I love this. Oh my God. What is my legacy? You know what? I do have to say, and I hope I don't get emotional, I had a brother who passed away. When I was 15, he was 16, and he had cancer. So he had an adult form of cancer as a child. And he passed away on Thanksgiving Day. And I remember my dad going to the hospital consistently, like with the family, all of us going to show up for my brother, because he had to like be put in like this little bubble and like CHLA. And I remember my dad struggling every single day to not be able to get the time off from his job to be able to go to be there for his son while he was dying. And so I didn't want to be that employer to my team, was someone that didn't understand when there was something happened, like a crisis. Great example, we have a team member over at my other company whose dad, she just found out, only has until October. And we were in the middle of a launch, and it's non-negotiable that our team works during a launch. And I said, fuck the launch. I don't give a shit about the launch. I will find someone to step in, because she's like my right person when we do the launches in the boot camp. I was like, there is someone that I can find to help me. I have friends, I have family, I have people that are willing to do whatever they need to. And she's like, oh, I'm going to use my, you know, holiday pay, my vacation day, and do these. And I'm a sprat. And I was like, fuck your vacation. Like, pay. I don't care. Like, you're going to get paid your salary. Go be with your family. And that's all that matters to me. And so for me, my legacy is that when my team has anxiety attacks, or they're going through, I had a team also who dealt with, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a blind sickness. I don't remember the name of it. Like, people say, I'm going to feel so bad for not having the name of it. Chronic illness. Sorry, excuse me. So she has a couple chronic illnesses. Like, I wanted to be that person that said, like, stop stressing. Everything, nobody's going to die. I'm not a surgeon. The worst that can happen is payroll is not ran, which I can jump in. I can do whatever I want. So if I were to leave a legacy, it's to prove that not all bosses are shitty bosses, and that you can have a good boss that actually gives a shit. And that would probably be my legacy.
I love that. That's like just so powerful. And it really does butterfly effect again.
It does. Yeah, 100%.
Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Alyssa, you're amazing. Where do you hang out mostly? Where can people find you?
Well, where I hang out, like in my office most of the time. But I don't think people are going to come to my office. Not a good idea.
Maybe.
It's not that big.
We have a CIA report on you, maybe.
Maybe we do. We can figure it out. Instagram. So that's at Magnetic Bookkeeping on Instagram. That's probably the best place to connect if you want to connect directly with me, to have combos. Like I said, I love doing voice notes. Those are my favorite thing. You can email us at support@magneticbookkeeping.com. Having two companies is so hard, because then I always want to say the other company's name. It's all bad. Another thing is you can go to our website, which is magneticbookkeeping.com, and book a consult. Get on a call. We don't charge you for the consult. Like, if you just need to be seen or heard, like, we have plenty of things that we can do to support you. A lot of people come to us not even knowing if they even need a bookkeeper, if they need support. We do offer a free quiz, which I know you're going to link in the show notes, because I absolutely do not know the domain name for this one. If you go there, it's going to include, you take a quiz. It's a money game plan, and essentially based off your results. So how much are you making? What are your goals? Everything that's happening. It will tell you either you need a bookkeeper, you need to evaluate your current bookkeeper, aka they are maybe not giving you what you need, or you need to DIY it yourself. And then based off those results, we will give you a custom plan that will allow to let you know what accounting software, who you need to go to, educate you on who each of the professionals are. It's a big plan. We also offer a free diagnostic review. If you have no idea what that is, I'm just going to give you an analogy because I love them. Imagine you are going to a car mechanic, and he's going to plug that little machine in your car, and he's going to look at all the different issues and then be able to quote you. So what we do is deep dive into your books or your spreadsheet, no judgment here. And we will look to see what are the big core issues and how it's affecting you. We'll even let you know if you're going to be overstating an income. And then we can actually offer to help you clean it up and take it on for you and do whatever it is that you need. So We are here as a resource in all the ways you can possibly think of. So that's where you can get immersed in our world.
Amazing. And I already know, just you explaining exactly what those tools do, you're already over-delivering, and you're already over-delivering for my own audience. So thank you for consistently staying in that value of over-delivering. And really, you guys, go check her out. Go see when you join her audience. See that. Do some DMs just with her. See those voice.
Get the Jennifer Lawrence experience without having to be Jennifer Lawrence. I should start charging people.
Exactly. Yes. Oh my gosh. Alyssa, this was so free. I'm like literally obsessed with you right now. I just had so much fun. You're 100% my vibe. And I just appreciate you adding so much value on this episode. I'm so excited for people to actually listen to this. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
And with that, we come to the close of yet another epic journey of the Aligned Empire podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the frequency of your limitless potential. Each episode is a code to unlock your unique energetic frequencies of money, business, and your aligned empire. If you feel this episode would resonate with others, please share it forward, creating a ripple effect throughout the universe. Make sure to subscribe to continue this journey of transformation with us. Join us again next week as we continue to rise together, joining a movement that is changing the world. This is Drea Brown, your guide on this journey, signing off.